Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio,
on WGR.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline to chat with us about the Buffalo Bills draft, the 2024 draft. The grades are coming out. Everybody get ready to look at some grades. Morning, Sal.
Good morning. I know. I love it. Here we go. Let's grade it, baby.
Let's go. Let's grade it. Of course, rookie camp will come. You can give us the timeline and all that. The schedule,
yep.
That's the next big. That's like 2 weeks away, right? The schedule's usually mid-May, May 12th, 15th area.
So, obviously, you know, we had our talk with Mike North last week. He didn't give an exact date, but I'm thinking it's going to be right before rookie minicamp or right when it starts. So, rookie minicamp is not this weekend. So, here's how it works. Every team has a chance, an opportunity to have their rookie minicamp either the week following the draft, which would be this weekend, of course, or the following weekend. The Bills will do the following weekend. So the Bills rookie minicamp will be, I believe the dates on that would be 9, 10, 11. Let me look at the, so it'd be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I believe. I think that's it, not 10, 11, 12, but either way, it's next weekend. And I think the schedule's going to maybe come out that same day, the 9th. I don't know for sure, but they don't do it on a Friday. I would say 8th or 9th. Look at that for the schedule. So we got a couple of things coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
All right. I mean, 8th or 9th, that's coming up quick. All right, Sal, so the draft class overall, we checked in after the first round when they had traded down. Then Friday they make the Keon Coleman selection, Cole Bishop as well. Mm-hmm. So wide receiver, safety, and defensive line to start. I mean, that much is not surprising at all for these Bills. Defensive tackle, safety, and wide receiver might have been looked at as their three biggest needs.
Yeah, I agree. They tried to accomplish a few things in this draft. Obviously, they're looking for football players. You know, you're trying to stick to your board as much as possible. The whole debate between, you know, best player available and needs, a lot of times they can be the same, right? I mean, most teams in the NFL aren't completely set at every position, so any position you take, you have a need for. You could argue that for the Bills. Once you got a wide receiver, I mean, there's really not a spot on the team where there's an open starting spot. Safety might be kind of closest to it, to be quite honest with you. So they get Cole Bishop. I took a little bit of grief because I kind of worded it wrong when I said, but I still believe this. After they drafted Cole Bishop, I said, look, I think that to start off, he feels like a Saran Neal type of replacement where he can play different positions on defense, but really he'll kind of slot in to play special teams as he works his way through there. What I meant by that was, I don't know if there's a starting spot for him right away. He's going to compete for sure. Would I be stunned if Cole Bishop won a starting job? No. But I think it's a lot to ask a safety to come into this defense. Guys, we said the same thing about Cooper DeJean. Like, Cooper DeJean, I think, is going to be fantastic. Even if the Bills drafted him, I don't know if he starts right away. Cole Bishop might. I'm not discounting it. But in the meantime, he'll probably play special teams. And then also, he'll play on defense. So he'll play as a big nickel. He'll play in different situations, covering a tight end. Like, he'll play more than a Saran Neal played on defense. But maybe the best way to put it would be become a guy that maybe they never got truly what they thought they would hope out of Saran Neal. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To start off. And then he eventually starts. So he'll be a starting safety. I just don't know exactly when that's going to happen. And Dwayne Carter, you know, you always have room for a defensive tackle. You always have room for, you know, a rotational piece, a guy that's going to play. He's going to play. He's going to walk in. Brandon Bean said plug and play. He said that about Dwayne Carter, and he said, we're going to rely on Keon Coleman. He's going to play right away. Keon Coleman's going to be a big part of this offense, I believe.
I would think, Sal, looking at their team, and Bean, going back to the end of the season, said this could be a team where young players are asked to play more than ever. I mean, yeah, all of their first four picks, if I even stretch it to Ray Davis at running back, might not start, but I'd expect to see all four of those players playing meaningful snaps during the season.
Interesting. See, I'm a little indifferent on Ray Davis. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I think that's a straight-up competition with him and Ty Johnson, right? That's the way I look at it. I don't know if there's much of a difference. I mean, at the end of camp, could we see – I have a hard time envisioning James Cook, Ray Davis, and Ty Johnson all getting jerseys in the same – like, what? They're kind of duplicates of each other, right? Maybe Ty Johnson becomes your bigger fourth-down running back. But sure, I mean, I don't think they drafted Ray Davis to be a guy that's just going to sit on the bench and never play. You know, I think he's going to be a guy that's going to, you know, wind up playing mm-hmm. on the field. He's also, by the way, he's 24. He's going to be 25 in November. The Bills took a 20-year-old in Keon Coleman and then a 24 to 25-year-old in Ray Davis. Yeah, he'll play, Joe. I agree with you. I wonder, you know, what role that is, though, right? I mean, I think that's a competition. Like I said, if he loses out, it's not like they're going to waive him. I think he'd be there to kind of come in and spell. But I wonder what that means, like how you kind of formulate that running back room as you go forward. But I do want to say, though, the big thing that, like you just said, it, young players with roles. Like, to me, the theme of this draft isn't just the things we're talking about. And I asked Brandon Bean this, and I wrote about it, and I think it's true. And he basically said, yes, like, that's right. Guys, they had a clear concentration on trying to get a certain type of player, like a certain type of leader, a certain type of a player that understands how to walk into a locker room and right away be able to conduct themselves and understand what's going on. Think of all the leadership that walked out the door. I mean, it's massive, right? Poyer and Hyde and Tre'Davious White and Mitch Morse and Gabe Davis. These are captains, and Stephon Diggs. I mean, these guys, I mean, when they go to mini camp and training camp, all of that leadership's out the door. Now, you're not asking these guys to come in and be your leaders, but it makes it a lot easier if you have people who understand what their role is, how to be leaders, how to act in these environments, when you don't have to necessarily then bring them along by telling them. And what did Brandon Bean say, like, about a guy like, Dwayne Carter? I love what he said about Dwayne Carter. He said, I wrote down in my notes when I saw him at the Senior Bowl, he's a grown man. Not going to have to tell him where to be, when to be there, who to follow. He's going to know. And I think they wanted a lot of guys like that because they don't have time to bring the rookie class in as an immature group, if I want to use that word. These guys need to kind of come in and be able to know right away because they're losing all those other people and don't have time to do that, if that makes sense.
Sal Capaccio. Yeah, the it's almost like drafting your next core, right? Like, that's what you're kind of looking for.
100%.
Yeah. And I get that. I understand that. So let's get to Keon Coleman, the second-round pick, first pick of the second round, and then Bill's newest weapon in the passing game. He's, I mean, polarizing might be a little strong, but he has some that think he can be great and some that wonder if there might be some limitations at the NFL level because he's not known to separate. His 40 time wasn't great, but his play speed shows maybe that he does play really fast. So overall, on the scouting profile of Keon Coleman, what did Brandon Bean talk about the Bills getting in this first pick of the second round?
He talked a lot about, in a different way, I just described those other guys. Keon's not that guy. He's 20 years old, right? I mean, it's not a guy that's a grown man, 24, walking in. But this guy, he said, is such a dog mentality. Like, he is just super competitive. He thinks he's the best, and he's going to be the best as soon as he walks on the field. And, you know, he's going to go out and do everything he can to show that he is the best. Like, he is all about ball. He just wants to play ball. That's the kind of guy they're getting. Now, as far as physical attributes, I thought it was super interesting that Brandon said, when he was asked about the speed or lack of speed, He said, look, he ran a 4.61 at the combine. He ran in the 4.5s at his pro day. And he said, we have access to his GPS stuff, like from college. And he was a 4.5 guy mostly there. Said, but he also, like, he is a guy that he has an ability to separate in different ways, right? Like, I mean, he's a longer strider. He can go up and get the ball. Keon said, I've never been caught from behind. Guys don't sit on me when I'm in the open field. He said, you know, the people who say that I can't, you know, I don't have speed, aren't they really the people on the field who are playing against me when I'm doing that, you know, when I have the ball in my hands, things like that. I think, like, I look back and say, like, personally, me even, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, if we did this wrong or how you talked about it. I wasn't, you know, listening every day for all the every way you broke him down. But personally for me, maybe I did a disservice too for not focusing on him enough. Because when they talked about, Rack and explosive playmakers and things like that, and then Keon Coleman goes to the combine and runs a 4.61, I'm like, ah, they're not drafting him, right? So I'm not thinking about the kid. And maybe that was just wrong on my part or anybody's part who thought everything they said just meant speed, speed, speed. It didn't have to mean speed. This was a kid that they think he can really play. I mean, you look at what he did in college and how the numbers he put up, like, that's not by accident when you're that highly productive with that skill set, right? So I think maybe then, like, I'm just thinking back, and the biggest reason why a lot of Bills fans are upset, speed, 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 speed. You didn't get the fastest guy. You got a guy that's a little bit slower. Well, this is a damn good wide receiver, and maybe it was just, like, even me, I did it and said, oh, Keon Coleman, that's not going to be their guy, right? I said it for 2 months. Like, they're going to want to add speed. And they did get Curtis Samuel. Not that he's a burner, but he's a rack guy for sure. He's a guy that satisfies some of those things they talked about.
Yeah.
Now, here comes another guy that they have with a little bit of a different skill set. So I think that's I just think it's unfortunate that people look at him like that, because maybe that was the driven narrative, and I'll take fault in that as part of it by saying these are the kinds of guys they want, speed, speed, speed. And just because people say he's a little slower, I can't believe they didn't get the speed. I mean, I don't think that's fair to him nor the organization, to be quite honest.
No, I think part of it, Sal, and this is like a follow-up question, part of that takeaway is that they only took one. And for mm-hmm. me, it was always going to be like, oh, okay, if it's Keon Coleman, they're going to want that style of receiver, and then they're going to also want like a Javon Baker or someone like that, because Coleman is the big-bodied guy. And, you know, if you're talking about a receiver core being a basketball team, well, here's your power forward, right? He's your big guy, one of them. So it's less about Coleman and more about I'm just surprised that they didn't go for a second guy anywhere here. And for Bean to reference Justin Shorter and Tyrell Shavers over the weekend and to have confidence in that room, that's not unusual for them. They've had confidence in their room every one of these last few years and still been a little bit lacking at the position.
Yeah, and I mean, we are going to probably, and outside Buffalo, they're going to look at the Bills receiver room, you know, and you know what people are going to talk about? The same way we did about Kansas City's last year, right? That's what everybody's going to do. Remember last year, all we did all offseason was say, well, wait a minute, they didn't really address their wide receiver room. What are they going to do? They drafted Rashee Rice. Like, what's, you know, he's going to be their number one guy? I mean, what do they really have? Isn't that going to be the talk this year? And I'm not saying it's wrong. Like, yes, I agree. You look at it that way. So it's going to be incumbent upon them to really show that, okay, you have confidence, you didn't do this. Well, you better prove then that you were right about this.
Yeah.
Because as I said all weekend, once they didn't get one of the top four, no matter what you do, unless you get a rostered player, you're coming out of the draft without a true number one. And I still believe that. They don't have a true number one. Now, can Keon Coleman be? Sure. He will be. Like, he's going to be to me in 25 or 26. Can he be in 2024? Sure, I wouldn't discount it. And he's going to get every opportunity to be that guy. But I think asking a rookie who was picked 33rd overall in the draft to step right in and be a number one receiver in the NFL is quite the task. That's why I say right now, I don't think you could say they truly have one.
Right. And sorry, this also to Joe Brady's offense, Sal. Like, one of the conversations I had with a friend about this was that maybe, you know, in terms of, you know, you're talking narratives and how we think about this team, I've been constantly thinking that they want to get back to the passing attack they had under Brian Daboll with 3 and 4 receivers. And I guess I just want to give up on that. They're going to be a different kind of offense. And Joe Brady's designs are going to be different than those Bills teams that won so many games. Doesn't mean they're not going to win or not going to be good. It's just the offense has been going through changes. And I think this draft class is another look at that. that they've got a lot of guys that can win over the middle. Now they have a big-bodied receiver that can win 50-50 balls. Like, they haven't had guys that do that that much. So it's a different version of a Buffalo Bills offense, and I kind of have to leave behind the one that I've been chasing for a couple of years now.
Right, and I think one of the key things that the Bills, especially McDermott, has talked about, defending the whole field. Now you have to, right? What you just said, Jeremy. Like, you have a perimeter guy in Keon Coleman. He's, you know, he's going to be the outside guy to go up and get a 50-50 ball or whatever. You have guys over the middle, Dalton Kincaid, James Cook, guys out of the backfield. Curtis Samuel can line up anywhere, right? NFL football field, you know, 53 and a third yards. You better defend every wide inch of it. And I think that that's something that the Bills have concentrated on over the past couple of years. It's kind of like the 12 personnel thing, right? Hey, we're going to put 12 personnel because you're going to have to figure out how we're going to play here, and you're going to defend us all over in different ways. It's kind of the same thing. And now this year, it's not going to be necessarily the 12 personnel. It's you got to defend us everywhere, no matter where we are. I got Curtis Samuel over here. I got James Cook lining up this way and flexing out Dalton Kincaid. So I agree. I mean, it's just going to look a little bit different. And hey, the proof is going to be what they can give us. Nobody knows. Nobody knows how any of these guys are going to play. And I'm really interested to see, after a full year of Joe Brady's offense, how they install it here. I texted a friend of mine last night who works in media, who is a big Florida State fan. And I said, okay, like, from your perspective, I know you're a Florida State fan, so you're probably going to be a little bit biased here, but, you know, put your media hat on too. You watch him, like, what do you think? How does he translate to the NFL? Do you have a comp? And I mean, I know it's lofty, and I will say he is a Florida State fan, all right? But he gave me a comp that I thought, you know, I never thought about that. And he said he thinks he's like Mike Evans. What do you think about that?
I don't think he gets open enough, like, to be Mike Evans, personally.
Right.
I mean, Evans...
Mike Evans does get open more, but he's not super fast.
No, but he's kind of like, you know, the super Davis in that way, right? Where a lot of his plays, even now, even at this age, are down the field, and he is open down the field, like, whether it's that stride or it's the nuances of the route running. Mm-hmm. And Coleman, I mean, he's younger and he's got 2 years of playing experience, really. Like, I'm really hoping he could develop into that, Sal, because when you watch his big plays down the field, it's not, you know, jab step and then he's by the guy. It's the Jordan Travis, the Florida State quarterback, throws it up and he just jumps over the guy. It's a different type of winning down the field, I feel like.
And the other thing is, this is what's really interesting, Sal. So I was looking at Mike Evans' profile, like his success rate against man and zone. A lot of the comps for Coleman, whenever you want to throw a name out there, are flipped reverse. Like, Evans is very good against press and very good against man and not great against zone. And that's something for Keon Coleman. He's very good already against zone, which this is something that the Bills might talk about, and whether you get down to the receiving coach talking about this. Like, to be good against zone at the age he's at would indicate a good understanding, right? Like, he reads things well. So maybe they think, all right, listen, that part of his game is there. Now, if we can clean up some technique or do XYZ, maybe we can pull more out of what he does against man.
That's a great point, Jeremy. And you know what? I think the other thing that happened was he transferred from Michigan State to Florida State. He had to learn a new offense. I asked him, what was the difference between the Michigan State offense and the Florida State offense? And I have to remember exactly how he did it here. He said Michigan State was more of a, like, pro style, I think he said. Florida State was more of like an air raid offense. You know, he kind of went in a little bit. I'll have to go back and find the exact quote. Maybe you guys can even play it. It was super interesting. And he said one was a little bit more like freelance. He can do what he do. The other was a little bit more he had to kind of. And I think it was like, I think that's what it was. Michigan State was more, hey, you got to do this or that. A little bit more freelance in Florida State. And this offense, I know the Bills, like, the Bills run a lot of choice routes. They run a lot of option routes. That would translate more to what he did at Florida State, which is, this is how they're playing you. When the snap of the ball goes, Josh and him have to be on the same page of what you're going to do. It's not you run to the fire hydrant and turn around no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, you're playing in the street. And I thought that was really interesting. But the other part is he had to learn a whole new offense. It's going from Michigan State to Florida State, two totally different offenses. And I would say the Bills would look at that and say, then we have no problem with him coming into the NFL and learning a new offense right away either.
Sal, from how Bean talked about Coleman, I heard him reference, like, playing him at the X and whatnot. Did you get the sense that maybe at the minimum what they'd like to have this year is him to do a lot of the things that Gabe Davis was asked to do in recent years, whether it's blocking or just a lot of what Davis was asked to do that was beyond just, you know, running down the field and catching the football.
Yes. When fans, I think for the most part, not all fans, of course, I had a lot of fans say, great, they just drafted a Gabe Davis replacement. Yes, that's true. That's exactly what they did. I mean, Gabe Davis was a starter. What they did was draft a guy who's going to replace your ex receiver. That's exactly what they did. And they're saying he's going to be better. He's drafted 33rd overall, and he's going to be able to do those things even better than what Gabe Davis did. He's a very good blocker. He's going to be the same kind of, hey, not super fast, but, you know, for everything you maybe don't like about Gabe Davis, this guy can, what the Bills are saying, well, we think he'll be better than that. So, yeah, for anybody who thinks it's they drafted a Gabe Davis replacement, you're right. But if you think that's a negative, that's fine. I mean, but they had to get one. Whether they drafted one 33rd or later or signed one, they had to replace Gabe Davis. They just didn't have that on their roster.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline as we chat about the Bills draft class. Is there any one player, Sal? Let's get to Cole Bishop. The versatility, right? The second round pick can play a number of different levels. Is he more of a up in the box safety? Is he a guy that's going to roam the deep secondary? When you think about what the Bills might use for Cole Bishop, what are they getting?
You know, he's all of it. He can do all of it. He played free. He played strong. The Bills interchange those. There's no really difference between them. I think that he probably excels right away a little bit more in the box. But he's athletic enough. It's not like he's a ball hawk, but he understands. How to play the position. He's a super smart kid. He's been in a Utah defense that was complex. He's been able to play different positions. Guys, I'm not going to put this on him right away to say you better, like, he's going to go out there and shut down Travis Kelce. He's a tight end eraser a little bit is what he is.
Yeah,
I
heard this. This is how Kincaid and Bishop know each other so well. Was it you telling the story? I'm sorry, Sal, I forget. Like, I've listened to so much draft coverage. That Bishop would cover Kincaid in practice, and the Bills asked him how that went, and Bishop said, I had him all the time. And then Kincaid basically said, yes, he did.
Brandon Bean, actually.
Okay, good, yeah. yeah.
And Brandon Bean said, I called. He goes, I got him. I got the better of him. He's like, yeah, I'm going to call Dalton. You know, Dalton said, yeah, he got the better of me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was, wow. But that... You know what I see him, guys? And I talked about that Saran Neal thing earlier, but you know what? How about, let's say he doesn't start. And I don't know. Again, he may start over Taylor Rapp by the end of the training camp. Great. Go out and earn it, kid. That'd be awesome. And if that happens, I'm not discounting it at all. I want to be clear on that. But even if he doesn't, how about that role Jordan Poyer played over the last month of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, that to me seems like maybe where he fits. A big nickel... big dime safety, right? Big nickel, big dime, something like that. You put an extra defensive back on, he's there. He's the tight end. He's got the guy that's got the tight end. That's what Jordan Poyer played. And by the way, he can also creep up and he can blitz a little bit. So he can do all of that, you know? I mean, they got guys here I think are going to compete. Like, okay, they get the center. Cedric Van Pran Granger. And, you know, what does that mean for Connor McGovern? Well, I'm here to tell you, again, I'll say, could you get to the end of camp and suddenly... You know what? This kid's really good. Let's start him. We can move McGovern back to guard. Sure, you could do that. It's not going to happen right away. Connor McGovern's going to go into OTAs, mini camps, and training camp. I'm very confident still being the guy they're going to say, you're just the starting center. They're not going to rely on this kid to walk right in and be the starting center until he could understand and they know what they're getting. So that could happen, and then you could just move McGovern back to guard because he already knows it. But don't expect that to happen right away. But eventually, sure. I mean, you could definitely do that. Maybe even 1 year of McGovern, then you switch him back. David Edwards only had a 1 year deal, I think it is. But either way, you can, you know, do all of that. The guy I like, I think my favorite draft pick for them, though, is Javon Solomon, an edge rusher. This is a guy that led the FBS in sacks, right? Now, that doesn't always translate, of course. He went to Troy. It's a bit of a smaller school. I love how he talked about it. I mean, you guys, this kid, like, there's nothing not to love about the way he talks. It's amazing. And I said to him, I said, you live in a portal NIL era, and you stayed at Troy despite being like one of the best sack guys in college football from Tallahassee. Like, how did Alabama or Florida State not come get you? And he's like, look, we were building something. I made a commitment to Troy. They made a commitment to me. I'm going to see that through. And I think that he said the beauty of relationships and community and teammates, like, that's what mattered to me. Like, this guy just exudes, like, the DNA, right, that you're looking for. Like, oh, my God, that's amazing listening to him. Then I go watch him. You know who he reminds me of, to be quite honest, and I don't – of course, you can never say he's going to have the same career, and he's taken in the fifth round here. He's the same size as Jerry Hughes, 6'2", 250. He's a smaller edge rusher, and I think there's a spot on this team and there's a spot in this league. It might take a minute, but I think that he's going to be a guy that can actually be relied on to rush the passer a little bit.
Yeah. And then they picked a rugby player.
Yes, offensive tackle, offensive guard, center. This guy, Travis Clayton, his testing, I don't have it in front of me. Go look at his measurables, his testing. It's just insane. Like, how do big people do these things? I don't know. It's incredible, right? You're talking about, yeah. You know, when you look at the Spencer Browns and the Tommy Doyles and these, the, you know, I don't know, Greg Rousseau's, whatever. These big guys who just, like, they have these measurables. So Travis Clayton comes to the Bills from the International Pathways Program. I look at this kid. This guy looks like amazingly freakish, but I'm here to tell you that I'm also upset because for the next 6 months, we're going to be getting a lot of questions about Travis Clayton and the International Pathways Program and about rosters and things like that. And I get it because that's like kind of what I do. And I'm on top of that, but I will tell you how it works. Basically, this is not like when Christian Wade was here in a different sense. This year, what they did was they said, okay, there were a whole bunch of people that went like to an NFL academy, and they kind of tried out to be a part of the International Pathways Program. 15 of them were kind of said, okay, you're a part of it. You're going to be draft eligible. Any team can draft you. They chose 15 of these guys. He was one of them. If a team drafted the player or they waited and signed him as an undrafted free agent, if you do that, you now automatically get an extra spot on your practice squad, a 17th spot that you can put him on, and he's exempt. So it makes sense to have an extra player to develop him. It does not count against your roster. Now, I did not see anywhere where he's exempt on the 90-man roster. Brandon Bean said he believes he is, but he's going to check on that. But it doesn't matter to him. He wanted him. Whether he's exempt or not, he didn't choose him for that. He chose him to be a part of the team. And I said, well, you could have also signed him as an undrafted free agent. He said, yeah, but we didn't want to leave that to chance. That's how much they wanted him. They drafted him because they didn't want him to go to another team. Because once you get to UDFA, he can sign with anybody else. That's why they drafted him. So we'll see where it goes with him. It'll be interesting.
All right. Sal, what's coming up today on the Extra Point Show?
Yeah, we're going to have a Florida State guest. Let me get his name here. This is Brendan Sinone, and he writes for Florida State at 247 Sports. We'll get his take on Keon Coleman, of course. And Nico Tamarian. Nico is out. He's a Buff State grad, but he covers the Washington sports and Seattle sports out in Seattle. And he can talk to us about, I don't want to try and say his name and butcher it. Eddie. We're going to call him Eddie. Eddie Ulofoshino. I think it's Ulofoshino, the linebacker the Bills drafted in the fifth round. Nico actually texted me and said, my God, you're going to love Eddie. I said, well, why don't you come on the radio and talk about him? He said, I'd love to. We tried to hook up with Nico when the Sabres played the Kraken late in the season. We were unable to do it, so we can throw in a few questions about them, too, so if we want to do that. So Nico will join us today as well.
All right. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline chatting about the draft class. Tim, Eddie, write your calls when we get back. Sorry to keep you waiting.
All right.
Thanks, Sal. Also, when we get back, some of the comps on Keon Coleman, his prospect profile. How likely is it he can play the X, and some of the players that have tried to do it with a similar skill set and similar production in college? Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, I've played with a numerous of quarterbacks that can keep plays alive. And, you know, you ain't always open every time it's a drop back. You know, sometimes the D ain't get back there, but to be able to have the ability to stay quarterback friendly, stay on the same side of the field, get across the field, be in his vision, and, you know, be a big target, you know, use my size and frame to be able to shield off a defender and give him a, you know, a liable throw and make sure you make the catches his best friend. Because he running for his life away from guys that's 270 pounds. You know, he don't want to get hit and you drop the ball. You know, he don't want to get hit and he got to throw it away. He would rather somebody catching that. So, you know, it's a big thing. I take pride in that. Scramble drill is an actual play.
New Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman, he will wear number zero.
Now that I like.
That's cool.
We have a zero and a one?
Yeah.
Because Curtis Samuel's wearing one?
Yes. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. We're post-draft show. Give us a call. It's going to be nice out today. It's going to be nice this week. The Bills add a receiver. We'll get some calls here because we've had some folks waiting. Tim in Dallas. Tim, thanks for waiting, being so patient. Sorry to keep you on so long. Happy to have you. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, guys. For me, one word regression as far offensively with the receiver room. Whatever the reason Diggs left, you want to upgrade that position. Forces production, we fail. So I'm sure Coleman is a great player, but his skills kind of reminds me of some of the same guys we have on the roster. So I don't know. I don't want to get your opinion. Also, as far as first-round money, I don't know how much was going to be. That's why they traded down. So I just want to get your opinion on that.
And if they did it for money, I'd be very surprised. I mean, you do save money going from the first to the second round. It's the biggest savings in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But teams like to trade up in positions where the fifth-year option, like let's say Keon Coleman is amazing, right? Like any receiver could be amazing, or any player. There are some positions where that fifth-year option is super valuable, and that is quarterback, edge rusher, receiver. You get another year of control before having to figure out what you want to do. So usually the first round over the second round is viewed as an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
On Coleman and his profile and how he projects and some of his comps, it's just so interesting how they're going to deploy him, how they're going to use him. He, in college, so I've got some of the numbers from Matt Harmon, reception perception. In college, he lined up not as a true X. Let me just say it this way. He took snaps off the line of scrimmage at nearly 60%.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the line as a true X.
Right.
So you see him working a lot in the slot. You see him working a lot as that big power slot. See some success against zone. I had somebody over the weekend send me a video, and it was basically a long breakdown of Keon Coleman. And the title of the video was, Can Keon Coleman Get Open? The scouting report is he doesn't separate. And it showed a bunch of Coleman highlights that came, a lot of them, slot or against zone. That he's not a guy that often gets separation against college corners. And I don't know what comparison you're thinking about. This is not DK Metcalf, right? This is not a guy that is big and fast.
It's not
and
AJ
gets
Brown.
Over. It's not AJ Brown, right? He is. Some of his comps are Jonathan Mingo, Treylon Burks, and Rashee Rice. And one of the spots that for Coleman here, we'll see. Like the Bills have done a good job growing players and bringing them along, and their ability to coach players up, I think, is pretty well documented. But in Coleman, they took a guy that does seem to have some serious limitations to what he might be able to do.
Right, like how much coaching up is there for him? You can getting open, especially off the line like that, like doesn't that come down to a lot of explosiveness? And how are you supposed to coach that up?
Right. Well, he has explosiveness. It's just that he doesn't he plays fast. They've got another one here from a listener that sent in Next Gen Stats that, like, among the players in the combine, that Coleman runs slants really fast and goes really fast, but his 40 yard is low. So, you know, when you're running these routes at the combine, your tracked speed is different from your 40 time. There are different ways to be fast.
Yep.
We know that with Gabe Davis too. Like, Gabe didn't run a fast 40 time, but then ran over the top of defenses. That said, that doesn't really seem to be how Coleman projects to be running over the top of defenses.
No, a lot of his plays at Florida State are screen passes.
Yeah.
A ton of them are screens. I'm watching a video over the course of the morning, all targets and catches for Keon Coleman from last year. The amount of screens is crazy. He's good at them, but I don't need him to do that stuff, right? Like, it might be helpful, but Curtis Samuel's going to do that, and Shakir's going to do that, and James Cook is going to do that, and I guess Coleman's going to do that too. Like, they're going to have... Maybe that's what they want to be. They want to have every player that's going to be on their offense, hey, you have to think about the screen going here. Versus, you know, some Bills teams of the past where just Beasley's not getting screens and Brown and Diggs. Like, now maybe you might have an offense where you have to worry about everybody's yards after catchability.
He breaks tackles.
He does.
I saw that he has broken... when he catches the ball in space... He's a guy that not only breaks a tackle, but often breaks multiple tackles. He is a hard player to tackle.
He's a weird player.
Yeah, right.
Right. I don't feel like any comp is perfect for him.
Yeah, there's a uniqueness to his skill set. And that, to me, I was here chasing throughout the receiver train and this whole thing a number one or someone with the potential to be a true number one. And I don't think Coleman is going to offer you that. That doesn't mean he's not any good.
Can he be your number two?
Maybe. I mean, I'm sure the Bills are hoping that. And this, like, the Gabe Davis comparisons. Davis was also an interesting / unique kind of receiver in that he was not the fastest, but he was able to get down the field and make big plays. Mm-hmm. And while we kind of remember Davis as not growing into what the Bills maybe hoped he would, he was a good player and he was valuable. So, you know, I told you a long time ago during this process, if they draft another Gabe Davis or a slightly upgraded Gabe Davis that's not a perfect player, that's still good. Like, you have a need for a lot of these different receivers on your team. What the whole picture looks like to me, Joe, is that they are really hoping Curtis Samuel can do a lot for them.
Yeah.
And as an $8 million player, like, Samuel is a bargain. The Bills here are going into the season, where do their receivers rank among NFL groups? It's probably bottom 10.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would put, if you're grading receiver rooms, they'd put the Bills near the bottom. Definitely the bottom half, even with the addition of Keon Coleman. A lot of these teams added another receiver. So, did they need speed? They have it in Samuel. They have it in James Cook. They did not get an over-the-top burner. They did not get a guy that gets open everywhere at all three levels. Last year, coming into this process, looking at receivers, we talked about JSN. We talked about Zay Flowers. He gets open at all three levels. You know, there were different options. And this year, it was a lot of X receivers, and I think they might have got a guy that might not.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Project as a true X.
Right. Yep. There is, between all their guys, like Sal mentioned, like what do they want to be? They want to be maybe an offense where you have to defend all levels of the field. And I'm looking at their receiver room right now. We could talk about the quarterback's impact on this. I look at their receiver room right now, and if I'm a defense prepping for that defense, am I threatened by anybody over the top?
I don't think so, no.
So do I have to defend all levels of the field? I might have to because Allen has a bazooka and will be willing to throw that ball down there to anybody at any time. But if you want to be an offense that is forcing the defense to guard all levels of the field, well, you're still missing a guy. You are missing, you know, you mentioned Javon Baker. Javon Baker would have been that. There are guys that were available in free agency that could have been that. Do they think Curtis Samuel has that element? There are some out there that think he is more than what he's been used as in the NFL. I'm at a point now where, well, he better be, because unless Curtis Samuel is going to jab step, run deep, by the corner, he's open down the field. Who on this offense is doing that? Justin Shorter? Who is doing that on this offense? They don't have it. Which can be fine. You can get around that. If everybody on your team breaks tackles and creates yards after catch, that's maybe the biggest difference, I think, between Coleman and Gabe Davis. Did Gabe Davis ever break a tackle during his Bills career? Like, it didn't happen a lot. And Coleman might have, you know, some plays where he does it three times, but they do not have a downfield threat.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. There's something to be said for the very first mock draft I saw after this draft of the 2025 draft has the Bills taking a wide receiver. I did not anticipate we would be getting to that spot where
next year,
here it is. It's finally time. They need to remake their room. It's the deepest class ever. And they come out with only one, prompting the first immediate mock draft I see to be like, oh, you're back on the train next year. I promise not to blow the train horn for a good, like, 8 months.
Hey, mate. We'll talk about it. How good does Coleman have to be to keep the receiver train at bay next year?
I think it's impossible is probably saying too much. But, you know, Shakir's going into year three. You're almost at the end of that. You get to sign him and pay him, and I don't know. It'd be interesting to see Joe Brady's offense. I that's the X factor. I don't know what Joe Brady's offense looks like, because what do we watch? We watched him run 8 weeks of Ken Dorsey's offense, and then get to a playoff game and have zero explosive plays, and that's what they're chasing, is explosive plays. So Samuel, Coleman, that's it so far. Mac Hollins. 803-0550. More your calls as we continue. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Post-draft. Dynasty rookie drafts. I saw a Dynasty rookie mock.
I am ready.
Keon Coleman, first rounder. He is in this town.
He will be probably in general.
Yeah,
just because
so.
Of the landing spot and the vacancy of targets.
Yep.
So, like, does he go over Worthy? They'll probably be back-to-back. Let me look up some rankings here. Updated Dynasty football rankings. The first ones I pulled up, no, he's not. Worthy is the fourth-ranked receiver, and Coleman is eighth. Behind Brian Thomas, Ladd McConkey, and Ricky Pearsall.
I think the really interesting question is who goes third, because it's Marvin Harrison Jr. 1, Neighbors is a lot of 2,
yeah,
and then do you go Bowers or Odunze? Brock Bowers to, you know, top-tier tight end. The first tight end in rookie dynasty generally goes early.
Yep.
And Kincaid went early last year. If you got Laporta, you now have like a tight end 1. And if you're building a dynasty team, Bowers is a good answer there. I don't even know who the second tight end is. Jatavion
Sanett.
Sanders. Sanett, okay.
Yeah, Sanett.
All right. When we get back, let's take more of your calls. I trust this defense. I wonder about this offense. So many new pieces and so many new factors at play. And the Bills went out and got one receiver in the draft, which is a surprise. Big surprise. Can't believe it's only one, but here we are. Keon Coleman is the Bills' second-round selection. After that, a lot of depth and hopefully some players that can, you know, blossom into starting roles. Sal laid it out that it's a lot about getting, a new core. More of your phone calls coming up on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.